Matthew chapter 16, we've been preaching through the book of Matthew, and we're almost to the end of this chapter. Look at verse number 25. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, you're going to see the three steps right here. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Then you see these steps repeated, just not quite so clearly in the next verses. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. We're going to take a look at those few verses, Jesus's three steps that he gives his disciples right here. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. We're actually going to break this message down into three parts, which sounds natural, and preach one part this morning. I'm going to preach step number two tonight, and then step number three at some not so distant time in the future. Next week, I am thrilled about this. Brother Caleb Garraway will be preaching for us. He'll be teaching Sunday school to all the adults and teens next Sunday morning. If you've not heard Brother Caleb Garraway teach and preach, you are in for a treat. God is using him, if I could just say it that way. Very talented, but very yielded to God. And I want you to hear him. Next Sunday morning, he'll be preaching for us. And the next Sunday night, he'll be preaching for us as well. And I'm excited about hearing him. He'll be preaching for the youth conference, but next week, you are in for a treat. If you'd come, I'd suggest coming to Sunday school next week. If you can get here at 9:30, you will be blessed, and I just know that you'll enjoy that with Brother Garraway preaching next week. So, Jesus' three-step plan, the first step this morning, second step tonight. Now, if you don't come back tonight, you're not going to know what to do. You're going to be totally lost. You'll get through step one, and if you can't make it, we'll put it online for you eventually. But I'd like to encourage you to try to come if you possibly can. Step one is deny yourself. Now, there's three similar statements through here. In verse number 24, Jesus says, let him deny himself. If any man will come after me, then he gives us this statement. Let him deny himself. In verse number 25, you see this statement. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life. So you've got the similar statement. You've got let him deny himself, and you've got whosoever will lose his life. Denying yourself may be one of the hardest things you ever do. Why? Well, we love ourselves. I don't have to convince you of that. The Bible even says it very clearly, Ephesians 5:29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. That's just the way we are. It's difficult to deny ourselves. We're naturally selfish. I've worked with teens long enough to understand this. If you have a bunch of teens together, and you are working with the teens, and I was a teen not that long ago, and if you get all the teens together and you have a pizza party, and you tell them there's all the pizza you can eat at this pizza party. Now, teens are smart enough to know there's really not all the pizza that we can eat. They think there's all the pizza we can eat because they've got lots of boxes of pizza, but I know we can eat more than they have. So you're a teen and you go to a pizza party. You know this. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm the only one in the world that did this. But if I went to a pizza party or a teen party, there's pizza there. I knew how it worked. And I would eat the pizza as fast as I could eat the pizza. And the reason for it is not just because I enjoyed eating pizza, which I did, but I wanted to get more pizza. And I know how it works. They say it's all you can eat pizza, but whenever you get there, if you eat kind of slow and you're talking and like trying to enjoy fellowship or stuff like that, you miss out on the pizza. So you get there, you got to eat the pizza as fast as you can. What is that? That's selfish. That's me saying, I don't care what anybody else gets, I'm going to get as much as I can. I'm going to try to get half of that pizza. I know they just think I'm going to eat two pieces of pizza, but I'm going to get as close as I can to eating half of that pizza. What is it? It's just selfish, and we're all that way. We all have this desire to preserve ourselves, take care of ourselves, protect ourselves, feed ourselves, so we eat pizza as fast as we can, so we can get more pizza. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you need to first of all deny yourself. Then he says this, lose your life, verse 25. Lose your life. Basically, what I believe he means by this, and we'll get to this here in just a moment, is change who you're living for. Lose your plans. Let God replace your plans with his plans. I believe that's what he's talking about. He doesn't mean go out and lose yourself. I mean, you can't really lose yourself. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. I went camping one time. We were up at, I was probably about 15, 16 years old. We went up to Stewart Lake up in the Pecos Wilderness. Beautiful place, a just pristine area. During the middle of the night, one of the younger guys, somehow he slipped down into his sleeping bag, got turned around down at the bottom by the feet of his sleeping bag. And if you've ever, kind of that claustrophobic kind of a feeling, he got stuck down at the bottom. His name was Kevin. He got stuck down at the bottom. In the middle of the night in the wilderness, we heard this scream. We heard this kid yelling. And this is what he yelled. I can't find myself. Just think about the depth to that statement right there. He knew where he was. He just was disoriented. Whoever will lose his life, or whosoever will lose his life. Let's talk about the same thing. Let him deny himself, whosoever will lose his life. And then verse number 26, you have this statement. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now the opposite is understood to be true. That you keep from losing your soul's profit by losing the whole world. You got a choice. Am I going to lose my soul or am I going to lose the world? Which one am I going to choose? Am I going to choose to keep the world and lose my soul, gain the world, lose my soul? Or am I going to choose to give up the world so that I can gain, as you would understand, the profit of my soul or gain my soul? Not only does God want you to give up your life, he wants you to give up the whole world. And that's where we're going this morning. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Can you take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15? These three statements, deny yourself, we could preach about that, but I'm not going to take much time on that this morning. We could preach a statement about losing your life. I think we'll cover that a little bit more tonight. I'm going to give up my plans for your plans. I'm going to give up what I want to do for what you want me to do. That's what we're talking about, losing your life. It's not talking about dying. The Bible is very clear, teaching us that we're supposed to, Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So God's not saying you need to go out and die for me, although sometimes he will call some of us to die for him. But he says, I want you to lose your life, give up your plans, give up your dreams, give up your life, however you define that, so you can live for me. Deny yourself, lose your life. Decide also you're willing to lose the whole world. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15 is where we're going to jump in right now. 1 John 2, verse 15. I want you to understand what it means to give up the whole world. If step number one of Jesus' plan here is to deny myself, lose my life, and give up the world, I need to understand what that means. So 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, if you'll find, you probably already found that. I'm still working on finding that. I'm getting slower and slower as I go. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. The Bible says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you give up the world when you decide not to love the world. But there's more to it than that. Look at verse number 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So in verse number 15, we see that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So when I give up the world, I'm going to give up the things of the world when I decide not to love the world. Verse number 16, I see that there's three things that make up what the world is. For all that is in the world. Then it goes on to describe those. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three things are not of the Father, but they are of the world. So Jesus said, I want you to deny yourself. I want you to be willing to lose your life. And I want you to be willing to give up the whole world. You've got a choice. You either gain the world, lose your soul, or you can give up the whole world. And that's what I want you to do, I believe is what Jesus is saying. I want you to be willing to deny yourself, lose your life, and be willing to give up the world. And that's really our message this morning. How do you do that? Well, you give up the world when you decide not to pursue the three things the world offers. What are those three things? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're going to break them down, and I want to help you. I just want to make this very practical this morning. I want you to live a successful life for Jesus Christ. In order to do that, you've got to be willing to deny yourself. You've got to be willing to lose your life, part of denying yourself. You've got to be willing to lose the whole world, which is also part of denying yourself as part of step number one. Then he says step number two is to take up your cross. Step number three is to follow him. We'll get to those later. Let's talk this morning about denying ourselves by saying no, giving up this world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh can best be described as what you want to do. The world tells you, if it feels good, do it. That's the lust of the flesh. If you want to do it, just do it. In fact, Nike got famous by saying, just do it, right? And I'm a person, I like action, and I understand kind of the idea behind the sports behind that. But lust of the flesh is me doing what I want to do. It's me wanting to do what I want to do. That's the lust of the flesh. You got the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The devil doesn't care if you do what he wants you to do. The devil just doesn't want you to do what God wants you to do. So the devil will do everything he can to get you to do what you want to do. And if you catch that, that's going to help you in life. Because he's not going to come out and say, with his horns and his pokey tail and his red morph suit, he's not going to come out and say, I want you to do what I want you to do. The devil's usually not going to say, serve me, worship me. Now, at some point along the journey, the people will get to the point where they would do that. But most of us, he won't come out to you and say that, just worship me. You know, reject God and worship me. He won't do that. He understands that most of us are smarter than that. You're smarter than that. You love God more than that. So instead of him saying, I want you to do what I want you to do, he says, just go ahead and do what you want to do. And what is that? That is the lust of the flesh. When I do what I want to do, the word lust means want. This do here, the best way to understand it is, this is what I want to do. Now, not all the time, this is going to be totally wrong English, but not all the time what I want to do is what God wants me to do. Sometimes I want to do things that I want to do, even if God doesn't want me to do them. It's because it's the lust of the flesh. Cain, remember Cain and Abel? That Cain, does anybody know any other Cains? Okay, that Cain. Cain sinned. Do you remember why he sinned? Cain sinned because against God, when he chose to offer his sacrifice his way instead of God's way. God had said, I want you to offer the sacrifice. It's supposed to be a lamb from the herd. And Cain said, I'm going to offer vegetables. I'm going to offer things from my garden. So Cain did what Cain wanted to do. And when Cain did what Cain wanted to do, Cain sinned against God. King Saul, you may remember him, he sinned against God when he chose to offer a sacrifice to God instead of obeying God. King Saul sinned. It was a terrible sin. King Samuel came and he rebuked him for it. He said, to obey is better than to sacrifice. And he said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. He said, King Saul, you have sinned against God. How did King Saul sin against God? By offering a sacrifice to God. You would think that would be okay. But the reason it wasn't okay is because it was what King Saul wanted to do, not what God wanted King Saul to do. He disobeyed. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve disobeyed. They did what they wanted to do instead of what God wanted to do. I love this song. I hope it could be a song that could stick in my mind, stick in your mind. I'm not going to sing it to you because I'll totally ruin it, but here's the words. I want to do your will, O Lord. I want to do your will, O Lord. Take me, break me, mold me, and make me. I want to do your will, O Lord. What is that? That's me saying, Lord, I don't want to yield to the lust of the flesh. I don't want to do what I want to do. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. It's about action. It's about doing. Doing what I want to do instead of what God wants me to do has a very simple word, and that word is rebellion. When I do what I want to do, when you do what you want to do, instead of doing what God wants us to do, we are rebelling. The lust of the flesh is wanting to do what I want to do. I know this is getting deep, right? I want to do what I want to do. I know this sounds just way oversimplified, but that describes where most of us struggle in life. God, I just want to do what I want to do. I just want to do my thing. God, I know you have a plan for me, but I want to do what I want to do. When I give in to the lust of the flesh, I do what I want to do instead of what God wants me to do. And Jesus said that if you're going to be successful as a Christian, you must lose the whole world. You must give up what you want to do. This sounds like a very difficult thing. Give up what you want to do. If I was to take all of the world and divide it into three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, what I want to do, what I want to have, and what I want to be, the three greatest temptations you're going to have in this life, to do, to have, and to be. And I say to God, God, I want to do what I want to do. I am going to live my life in rebellion against God because I simply want to do what I want to do. When I can yield myself to God, I can say, God, I am willing to do what you want me to do. I can have success. But in order to do that, I have to give up what I want to do. Are we making sense so far? But Adam, can you turn the fans on? People are fanning here, and if you could do that, that'll help us out just a little bit. I've got to get to a point. You've got to get to a point in your life where you can say, God, I give everything I want to do to you. God, this is what I want to do, and I really want to do it, but I'm going to give it to you. You must give up what you want to do. Let me give you some examples. Some people have some really high and noble goals with their life. I mean, difficult goals. Like, for example, one of these goals would be, I want to conquer the 7 tallest peaks in the world. Those are big goals. I mean, you have to train for years and years and years, and you have to save money, and you've got to get ready to get your equipment. You've got to take this peak and this peak and this peak. And they've got this noble goal, but they've got to be willing to say, God, I am willing to not do this thing that I want to do. I know you're thinking, I would never want to do that. It sounds cool to be able to say, I was one of 300 people that stood in line climbing up Mount Everest. I stood in line on the way back down, and it was very cool. There's other peaks that you could climb as well. How about this one? I want to go to at least one Cracker Barrel in every state of the Union that has a Cracker Barrel. That's a great goal, right? You've got to be, and it made the newspapers a long time ago, made the newspaper a couple traveling through town, and that was their goal. We're going to go to every Cracker Barrel in every state that has a Cracker Barrel, we'll go to at least one. I'm going to spend my retirement getting little stickers the shape of every state and put them on the back of my car. There's nothing wrong with getting the stickers, and there's nothing wrong with going to Cracker Barrel. There's certainly nothing wrong with climbing a mountain, but I've got to be willing to say, God, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to give it to you. You can have it. If you want me to do it, that's great, I'll do it, but I'm going to take my wants, the dues that I want to do, and I want to give them to you. When my brother was in high school, he's 8.5 years younger than me. How many of you have met my brother Steve? He's a missionary in Chile now. He was in high school. He worked at that same summer camp that I worked at. They had an award in the Boy Scouts for swimming a mile. If you swam a mile at one time without stopping, you'd get a patch. The patch was about that big. Steve swam the mile and he got that patch. He swam the mile again, he got another patch. I'm not sure how many times he swam the mile, but he did it several times. And one time he told me, we came home to visit, and he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to swim the mile so many times and get so many patches that I can make my own set of swim trunks out of mile swim patches. That's what I'm going to do. My goal in life, sew my own swim trunks out of. You've got to be willing to say, this is what I want to do, and God, I'm going to give that to you. You know, we think that sounds silly. But don't you think God thinks that some of the things that we want to do sounds kind of silly too? This is what I want to do. When I can, now, there's nothing wrong with doing, but I've got to get to the point in my life where Jesus said, deny yourself, lose yourself, lose the whole world. When I get to the point where I can say, God, everything that I want to do, here it is, all on this list or all in this bucket, I want to give that to you. You do with it what you want. I'm willing to deny myself in order to live for you. 7 of the 10 commandments are about doing. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Then under that, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. All of those things, things that somebody might want to do, but whenever I do them, I'm sinning against God. So even in that very baseline area, I've got to say, God, I'm going to give everything that I want to do to you. I really want to steal that candy bar, but God, I'm not going to. I'm going to give my wants to do's to you. Does that make sense? I've got all these things. I've got a lot of things that I want to do. I've got some plans. I've got things that I want to do. I've got to get to the point in my life where I say, God, I'm willing to give this to you. Here's what it is. Let me simplify this. Losing the whole world means giving your bucket list to God and allowing him to change it however he wants to. You know what a bucket list is, right? It's all the things you want to do before you kick the bucket. That's what it is. And I've got this bucket list. Now I've got these things. Some of you got that. I've got to go bungee jumping and jump out of an airplane. And I've got, you know, the Cracker Barrel thing. You got a bucket list. How many of you have a, never mind. There's nothing wrong with having a list. Some of us are list people. Did that, right? There's nothing wrong with the list. What I need to do is I need to say, God, I want to give my list to you. I'm going to lose the whole world. I'm going to lose this one part of the world, the lust of the flesh, everything I want to do. God is yours. I'm giving you my bucket list. And here's what you can do. You can change it however you want to. God, here's my bucket list. You rearrange it, change it. Give me my list back and I'll do the list that you want me to do instead of the list that I want to do. I've still got a bucket list, but now it's the right bucket list. Do you see the difference? And God knows what I can get done before I kick the bucket, so it'll be a better list anyway. It doesn't mean you won't ever do anything. It means that you'll spend your life doing things that really matter. You can make a list of all kinds of crazy things to do with your life, but will they really matter? Some of the things that people would put on a bucket list, I didn't write any down here, but just some of the things that people would put on a list like this, they really don't matter to anything. Maybe something that sounded cool, somebody did it. I want my life to matter. I know you want your life to matter, so I'm going to give that list to God. I'll say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I've got to move quickly. The lust of the eyes is what you want to have. If the lust of the flesh is what I want to do, the lust of the eyes, and Jesus, and the Bible says, 1 John, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these things are not of God. The world says, he that dies with the most toys wins. The world says, you need more things to keep up with the Joneses. The world says people will like you more if you have better things. And we fall for it. We fall for this idea that I've got to have more stuff, so I spend more time working so that I can get more stuff. And we spend our life getting things. And Jesus said the first step to living a Christian life, a successful Christian life, denying yourself, losing yourself, and losing the world. And in order to lose the world, I've got to lose my lust of the eyes, the things I want to do. I've got to lose lust of the flesh, and then lust of the eyes, things I want to have. I've got to get to the point where I can say, God, I don't need to have all this stuff. I just want to have what you want me to have. And this is hard. In 2011, this is 8 years ago now, a 17-year-old Chinese boy named Wang Shengkun from a poor province in China sold his right kidney in an illegal surgery to buy an iPhone 4 and an iPad 2. Now, anybody that knows anything knows that we're way past iPad 2. We're way past iPhone 4. What is an iPhone 4? Some of us still have an iPhone 4. What is an iPhone 4 worth? Most of us know that's obsolete. Nobody even wants one of those anymore. But in 2011, Wang Shengkun wanted one so bad, he found somebody to do an illegal surgery, got the money, and bought an iPhone 4. The update in the story, 2018, his other kidney has been giving out for the last 7 years. He's going through all kinds of surgeries, trying to survive because he wanted to have something so bad. The lust of the eyes, I want to have that. If you pursue having things, you're pursuing the world. And the things of the world never satisfy. Achan wanted to have the silver and gold and stylish clothes that he saw in Jericho, so he took them. The Bible says he stole them because they belonged to God. And God had commanded that nobody take any of the spoils of the battle. Achan goes in. He sees, if you were going into somewhere and you saw gold and silver and really fancy clothes just laying around, what would you do? Well, God had said, don't take them. Achan said, I saw them, I coveted them, and I took them. I saw them, the lust of the eyes. I wanted them, and I wanted to have them. Eve wanted to have the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat. She saw it and wanted to have it, so she took it. What is that? That is the lust of the eyes. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. I've got to get to the point where I'm willing to lose those things. Jesus, I'll deny myself. I'm willing to lose my life for you, and I am willing to lose the whole world. That means I'm willing for you to take the things that I want to do. I'm willing to take for you to take the things that I want to have, because I'd rather serve you. Three of the Ten Commandments are about having. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not steal is a do commandment, but also has to do with having, because you want to take that thing. And thou shalt not covet. Wanting something that I see. Wanting something that belongs to somebody else. Losing the whole world means opening your hands and allowing God to take everything that you have and replace it with what He wants you to have. And that sounds terrible. I mean, honestly, if you think about this, you say, God, I'm going to give you everything that I have. It sounds good preaching. It sounds good on Sunday morning until I start thinking about the things that I have. That means, God, I'm going to give you my house and my car and my checking account, and I'm going to give you everything that I have. Am I really willing to do that? This sounds terrible to say, God, you can have everything I have, until you remember that God knows what you need better than you do. And until you remember that God wants what's best for you more than you do. And God loves you more than you love yourself. And God knows the future, so He knows exactly what you will encounter on your journey. So if you say, God, you can have everything that I have, and just whatever you want me to have, that's what I want to have. I'm willing to lose the have part of the world, because God, I'm just going to trust that you know better than me. Lust of the flesh, what I want to do. The lust of the eyes, what I want to have. And he said, the lust of the pride of life, 1 John chapter 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride of life is what you want to be. The devil tempted Eve with being someone better than she was. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. What would it have taken to make Eve better than she was? Eve was perfect. God created Eve with her own hands. He designed her to be exactly what she should be. She didn't need any improving. But the devil tempted Eve with something that the world always offers, and that is this, to be something better than you are. The serpent told Eve, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be... Catch that? Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Eve, I've got a proposition for you. Eve, if you will sin against God and you can disobey God, you can be somebody better than you ever thought you could be. You can be as gods. Pride of life. The devil had a good idea that would work. That desire to be would cause Eve to sin because it had caused him to sin. In fact, the devil was cast out of heaven for the very same sin. Isaiah 14:14, the Bible is talking about what the devil was thinking. Lucifer, as he was in heaven, he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. There's some due sins in there, but listen to this one. I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. The pride of life. Jesus said, if you are going to come after me, you're going to need to deny yourself. You're going to need to lose yourself. You're going to need to lose the whole world. That's the first thing you have to do. You have to lose a lot of stuff. Let me help you understand that here in just a moment. The pride of life, you've got the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, or pride of life. What I want to do, what I want to have, what I want to be. One of the Ten Commandments is about being. You may miss it unless you stop and think about it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. No, I thought that was doing. I thought that was saying his name, or no, it's being. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's about who I say I am compared to who I really am. Am I someone who says I'm a Christian, but really the word Christian is just an empty title? Whenever you got married, ladies, if you got married, you probably took the name of your husband. Who are you? Ruth went to meet with Boaz, and Ruth made the proposition to Boaz, would you spread your skirt over me? Would you marry me? Whenever Ruth came back to Naomi, do you know the question that Naomi asked Ruth? Who are you, my daughter? When you take somebody's name, it's talking about your identity. It's talking about who you be, all right? Are we still with me? Are we still awake this morning? Well, we're talking about being. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Losing the whole world means giving up your plans to be famous. Losing the whole world means giving up your plans to be rich. Losing the whole world means giving up your plans to be powerful. Losing the whole world means giving up your plans to be the president. Losing the whole world means giving up your plans to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be a preacher, to be a missionary. These are my plans. And if my plan is to be any of these things, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a pilot. Losing the world is me saying, God, I'm giving up my plans to be a pilot. Earlier in my life, I had great plans to be a garbage man. I wanted to be a garbage man. And when I grew up, I wanted to be that. Losing the whole world means I'm going to give up my desire to be any of these things. Anything from everything I mentioned, from being the garbage man to being the preacher, missionary, whatever it is. Now, it's a good thing to be a preacher. It's a good thing to be a garbage man if that's what God has for my life. But when my desire to be is guiding me, instead of me saying, God, I am willing to be anything you want me to be, it means deciding not to be who you want to be and deciding to be what God wants you to be. Losing the whole world means doing the exact opposite of most high school valedictorian speeches. You ever gone to high school graduations? Skip as many of them as you can. They're long and dull, right? And you get the 17, 18-year-old and gets up. And I gave one of those speeches whenever I was... I had two people in my graduating class. Just don't think I had a big head or anything. Right? Get to give the graduation speech. And you listen to speeches. So many of those speeches, not all of them, but so many of them are, we can do anything we want to do. We can have anything we want to have, and we can be anything that we dream of being. That's what they're about. God's plan. The successful Christian life is about me saying, I am giving everything that I want to do to God. I'm giving everything that I want to have to God. I've got some big dreams and some big plans. There's a lot of things I'd like to do. There's a lot of things I'd like to have. Whenever I was in high school, we were being challenged. I forget who, it was a devotion or something. We were challenged about coveting money. I remember telling one of my friends, and you got to remember, when I was in high school, we're talking like 1990, okay? I remember telling one of my friends, I really don't want money. I've got no desire for a lot of, I don't want to be rich. I just want to have a 1990 Chevy Silverado. And I talked about all the things I wanted to have, which is just as much the stuff of the world as wanting riches and fame and fortune. Losing the whole world means doing the exact opposite of what most of our world thinks. You give up the world when you decide not to pursue what you want to do. You give up the world when you decide not to pursue what you want to have. You give up the world when you decide not to pursue what you want to be. And listen, there's a really good reason for giving up the world. Are you still in 1 John? 1 John chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 17. I'm sorry, verse 15. Love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at verse 16. Then you've got this description of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now look at verse number 17. Why does it make sense to lose the world? Well, verse 17 says this, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to do something of eternal value. I want to have something of eternal value. I want to be something of eternal value. And the world passes away, so I don't want to be, do, and have all those things of the world. I want to be, do, and have what God wants me to do. If you want to invest your life in something that will matter for eternity, you must choose to give up the world. So you got to make a choice. Am I going to save my life and eventually lose it? Or am I going to lose my life for Christ so that I'll find Him? Am I going to gain the world and lose everything? Or am I going to give up the world and gain the things that matter? The first step in Jesus' three-step plan for living a Christian life is denying yourself. And I brought a picture of what that looks like right here. Denying myself. If the wagon's my life, denying myself is saying, God, you know I want this. You know I want to have this thing, but I'm going to take it out. And God, you know I want to be this. I really want to be this. In fact, God, all my life I've wanted to be this. But God, I'm going to take it out. And God, I've really wanted to do this. Really wanted to jump out of a perfectly good airplane sometime in my life. Whatever it is. God, I really want to do this, but I'm willing to lose it. And God, I want to be this. And God, I want to do this. And God, I really want to have this, and I want to do this, but I'm going to give it to you. And denying myself, that first step in living this Christian life for God, is unloading my cart and saying, God, all this great stuff, these are my dreams, these are my plans, this is everything I've ever wanted to be, it's everything I've ever wanted to have, it's everything I've ever wanted to do, and God, now it's empty. God, I'm willing to give you an empty life that you can fill with whatever you want. Give me the things you want me to have. Show me the things you want me to do. Make me the person you want me to be, because I don't want to have all that stuff. I just want to do your will. And that's the first step. Father, I pray that you would help us to make that decision this morning. Lord, there's a lot of things that we want to do with our life. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd convict each and every one of us. Get us to the point where we can say, I want to do this a lot, but Lord, I'm going to give that to you. Lord, there's a lot of things we want to have. In fact, we've spent most of our life compiling and gathering those things we want to have. And God, I pray that this morning you'd convict our hearts to the point where we would say, God, I will give all of that to you. It's yours. Do with it what you want. And Lord, there's some things we really want to be. We've got dreams. We've got plans. We've got ambitions and goals. Lord Jesus, I just pray that this morning you'd convict each one of our hearts and say, Lord, I just want to be who you want me to be. Yes, this is my plan, but God, I'll give you my plan and you replace it with whatever you want.